we need to realize that we're not only saved by grace through faith, but we experience God's blessings or His favor in the Christian life when we walk by faith. If we start walking by legalism and thinking somehow if we fixate on the commandments and we obsess about the commandments, that will please God? No, that will displease God.
Grace is amazing, but what's even more amazing is how we receive it. Hi, this is Grace in Focus, and I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. In today's broadcast, we're going to continue our series called The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. At the end of the program, I'm going to tell you how you can get your hands on a copy of a book by that same name. But more on that in a while. For now, let's jump right into our discussion with Dr. Bob and Sean. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, Sean. I'm Bob Wilkin.
Well, we're talking about grace today, and we're just exploring the biblical concept of grace. I'll tell you what the popular concept of grace is. A lot of people think that grace or the grace of God or salvation by grace means something like fatalism, something like divine determinism, absolute predestination. God causes everything to happen. And on this view, if there's any free will at all, any kind of response, then that's not grace. The other view, popular view of grace, is what I call sacramental substance view. And this is the idea that grace is a substance that gets communicated through the sacraments. So you want to go to church every day and partake of the bread and the wine or just the bread because that's your way of receiving grace from God. Well, we're evaluating these two major traditions against the Bible. In the last episode, we saw that grace in the Bible has a number of different meanings, a number of different definitions, and fatalism and sacramental substance are not part of those options.
That's right.
So what are some of the options in the Bible of the meaning of grace?
Well, it can mean favor. It can mean liberality. It could be a beneficent attitude towards someone. It could be thanks that comes from someone else being beneficent toward you. It could be an attractiveness, a winsomeness. So it has quite a number of different meanings, but when it comes to being born again, it means that God has bestowed favor on us, and that favor is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also in the ministry of the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, John 16, verses 7 through 11. So the Holy Spirit is wooing people. In fact, remember, Jesus himself said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all unto me," John 12, 32. So part of God's favor is all the work of Christ in his perfect life, his sinless life, his death on the cross for us, and God wooing us to him so that coming to faith is simply the conclusion of all that God has done, but it does require a response on our part, and we can resist that response. Remember John 5, 39 and 40? "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me, but you're not willing to come to me that you may have life." We have to have a willingness. So the theology you're talking about that says it's all of God and we do nothing, that's unknown to Jesus in the scriptures.
Right. In the scriptures, you definitely have to be willing. And like Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, by grace we are saved, but it's through faith.
Right.
There is some type of human response. Now, I don't believe we decide to believe things, but we do decide to listen to arguments, search out for evidence, pray about things, seek the Lord, grope for the Lord. There's a lot of choices that we make to orient ourselves towards accepting the saving message.
In fact, good point. Acts 17, 27 is where Paul says, "God has granted to people that they might grope after God if perchance they might find him, and he's not far from all of us." That's another statement on the fact that, yes, we can respond to God's drawing by seeking him in response to him seeking us.
So we're saved by grace through faith apart from works, and it's a gift from God. Well, I want to look at Galatians 5, 4. And it's kind of this interesting passage in Galatians. You'll remember that the Galatians, although they initially responded to the message of justification by faith apart from works, after Paul left, false teachers came in. And these were legalists sent from Israel, sent from Jerusalem. And these legalists were saying, you know, yes, Jesus died for sin, and yes, Jesus rose from the dead, and yes, you should believe in him, but belief is not enough. You also have to do these ritualistic works. You have to be circumcised. The Galatians started following the Jewish liturgical calendar. And Paul came and said, what are you guys doing? You are going after another gospel.
Right. He said, who has bewitched you in chapter 3?
Right. And so he reaffirms that we're justified by faith apart from works. And then in Galatians 5:4, he says this, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Now, I have heard that verse quoted to me many times, and people think it means this. If you're attempting to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace, and therefore you've lost your salvation, and you're going to go to hell. Is that what he's saying?
Right. No, that's not at all what he's saying. In fact, the way many people teach it is that falling from grace is you are seeking to be justified by whatever the people don't think of you should seek to be justified by. But a lot of people think, well, yeah, you've got to be justified by keeping the commandments, but not by the law of Moses.
Right.
So they'll make a distinction and say, what Paul's forbidding here is the law of Moses, but not all commands. The truth is, what he's saying here is regarding the Christian experience. He's writing to born-again people. He makes this clear in chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. They've already received the good news which he preached. They've already been born again. And as I mentioned in chapter 3, they've been bewitched. They got it, but now they're being confused. But in verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ. Well, when a husband and wife are estranged, that means they're not communicating. In many cases, it means they're not even living together. They're separated. Doesn't mean they're not husband and wife, but they're estranged. And he goes on to say, you who attempt or seek to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Falling from grace is another way of saying you've been estranged from Christ. Those are synonyms. Well, in his commentary, in the Bible Knowledge Commentary, Dr. Donald Campbell, who was the president part of the time I was at Dallas Seminary, he writes that falling from grace refers to a believer who ceases to experience God's favor in his life.
All right, so this is grace in terms of God's favor, God's good disposition towards this person.
Right. In other words, I'm no longer experiencing his benefits, his blessings in my daily life. It doesn't mean I'm not born again. That would be silly. You can't lose everlasting life. But what he's talking about is I'm no longer experiencing his favor.
Right. So this isn't a heaven or hell issue. This is a victorious Christian life issue. This is an abundant life issue.
I would call it a blessing or cursing issue. If you are under legalism, then you're under a curse, right? Galatians 1, 8 and 9. Let him be accursed. Anathema. Let him be an anathema. It doesn't mean let him go to hell, as some of the translations have said. It means let him be under God's curse here and now. And so I see this as what he's saying is, if you seek to be justified by law by following the false teachers you talked about, some people call them Judaizers, well, then you're going to cease to experience God's beneficence, his favor, his grace.
Right. So there's really two types of mindsets, two worldviews, two types of experiences a person can have. And Paul was very emphatic that if you try to live a law-type life, if you try to live under a law-type religion, if you have law-type thinking, well, the law only produces one thing. It produces cursing. It provokes sin. It causes you to sin even. It condemns you. It curses you. If you go under law, that's what your experience is going to be.
That's exactly right. And so when we're talking about grace, we need to realize that we're not only saved by grace through faith, but we experience God's blessings or his favor in the Christian life when we walk by faith. If we start walking by legalism and thinking somehow if we fixate on the commandments and we obsess about the commandments, that will please God? No, that will displease God. And in this case, of course, they're actually fixating on commandments that church-age people are no longer under.
Right. And he says in verse 6, he says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. but faith working through love. He's talking about how do we live the Christian life? And these guys, the Galatians, were being bewitched into thinking, well, God is going to love me and bless me if I follow this calendar. God is going to love me and bless me if I get circumcised. God's going to love me and bless me if I follow these rules and regulations. And Paul is saying, none of that matters.
No, it's faith working through love. Right. I like that. And look at verses 14 and 15 in chapter 5. He says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. One word probably means one concept because he's giving a sentence here. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you want one word, it's love. And then he says, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you are consumed by one another. Now, that's puzzling to people. Well, what he's talking about is if you are a legalist and you're seeking to be justified by law, what that produces is biting and devouring one another. Maybe, I don't know if you've ever been in a church like that, but if you're in a very legalistic church, what happens is someone will say, well, brother so-and-so over there can't really be saved because did you hear what he said?
Look at his sideburns. Look how big his sideburns are.
Oh, that's impossible. His hair's touching his collar.
Oh, sister so-and-so, I could see her knees.
Yeah.
She can't be saved.
That's
her skirt's not long.
I saw her wearing jeans the other day, and that's impossible. Whatever it is.
I was in a church once where every single one of the women wore the same dress. They all had different patterns, but they all had the same dress. That's legalism. That's what legalism produces. You make up these man-made rules, and then you start criticizing and condemning other people for not living up to those rules as much as you are or as much as you think you are.
Now, we tend to think that legalism produces holiness, but what it produces is backbiting and complaining. If you're in a church that's walking by grace through faith, then we're not going around judging the other people in the church. We leave that to the Lord.
Right.
Or if someone needs church discipline, we leave that to the leaders of the church.
Right. All we're concerned with is, wow, Jesus gave us this amazing gift of salvation. I don't have to do anything to earn it. So now I'm free to just love people where they're at.
In fact, that's what Paul talks about at the beginning of chapter 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. He set us free from bondage to sin, including bondage to legalism. So let's walk in love and gratitude for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then instead of falling from grace, we'll be living under God's favor.
Wow, what an amazing motivator. Thank you, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar, for helping us to be motivated to remain in God's favor. This broadcast is part of our series called The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. If you like what you've heard today, I'm going to encourage you to get your hands on a book by the same title, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible, by our very own Dr. Bob Wilkin. To get your very own copy, go to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And while you're there, check out some of our free resources. You can get a subscription to our free print magazine. You can also subscribe to our free podcast and blog posts. You can learn about upcoming events. And if you feel so inclined, we'd encourage you to give a tax-deductible donation to this ministry so that we can continue this work. Maybe you have questions about what you heard today. Contact us. radio@faithalone.org is our email. radio@faithalone.org. Well, this was the last episode in The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible, but I'd like you to tune in tomorrow because we're beginning a new series and you're not going to want to miss it. I'm Lucas Kitchen, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.